sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Bon là, mesdames et messieurs, nous sommes maintenant à épisode 210. 60 Christians Against Me. See, check this out. See, I'm a poet to some, a regular modern day Shakespeare. Jesus Christ, the king of these Latter-day Saints here, to shatter the picture in which of that as they paint me as a monger of hate, Satanist, scatterbrained, atheist. But that ain't the case. See, it's a matter of taste. We as a people decide if Shady's as bad as they say he is. Or is he the latter, a gateway to escape, media scapegoat, who they can be mad at today? Damn. See, it's as easy as cake, simply as whistling Dixie. While I'm waving my pistol at 60 Christians against me.
Message!
Let me repeat that. While I'm waving my pistol at the 60 Christians against me.
Message!
Go to war with the Mormons, take a bath with the Catholics in holy water. No wonder they try to hold me under longer. I'm a motherfucking spiteful, delightful, lightful, the new Ice Cube. Motherfuckers hate to like you. What did I do? I'm just a kid from the gutter, making his butter from these bloodsuckers. Cause I'm a motherfucking... Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, and aka Gaston Lebanon. Okay, all right, boys and girls, before I start with what's going to be another amazing show, I need to remind you, new listeners, and you returning listeners. I guess I'm informing you new listeners and reminding you returning listeners that this podcast is still a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red black, and the red blue.
Who's your blue?
Up in this bitch. Who's your blue? Up in this bitch. Who's your blue? Up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you? Think about it. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, October 9th, 2024 at 8:12 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, a record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you happen to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right, okay. So in the NCR, National Capital Region, it's currently... hey, Google, what's today's weather? I mean, current weather. Goddamn. Currently it's 7 and mostly cloudy. Oh, okay. What do you mean high of 6? Okay, well, currently it's 7 degrees. You can't tell unless I put out the video recording that I have of me, but I'm wearing a toque. A toque. For all you Yankees out there, a toque is, I guess, what you would call a hat, but the kind of hat you would wear in the winter. It was kind of interesting. There's one time I was in the United States and talking to a white guy, and I said, and I used the word toque in a conversation, and homie's like, "What's a toque?" I swear I thought the dude was breaking my balls. I'm like, "What do you mean? I mean, a white guy, how are you white and don't know what's a toque? You know what I mean? You white people confused." Like, at the time, I thought he was making fun of my English, man. It's a fucking, am I pronouncing it differently? And then it hit me. Toque is a Canadian word. All right, okay. Hey, right. Oh, my God. The show hasn't started yet. We're still at the beginning. Like I do with tradition, I like to send a shout-out, greeting and salutations to all you returning listeners. Oh, man. From the bottom of my heart, I say... Another group of individuals I need to share a lot of love to and show a lot of respect and gratefulness is all you first-time listeners. Oh, man, you are very welcome. Especially if your homie pranked you into listening to this podcast. We'll take care of you. All right, okay. I say all right, okay a lot, right? Yeah, but whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. Okay. Right. You listeners. You think I have this shit memorized. You listeners. Okay. Just to help you get more familiar with my podcast or shows, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Parts, which I prefer to use the term. I prefer the term because we're politically correct. I prefer the term acts. Okay. Acts. Mainly because chicks dig it. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts, which is I just share some user random thought. And the final act is final thought. It's for dedicated to a final thought. Now, so far in the first act, what you've heard is you've heard the theme song. We start out with the theme song, followed by the title of today's episode. And then, now, to give some context to the title, I followed up with some poetry. And the poetry and the title will all be related to the final thoughts, right? It's kind of like a hook. It's kind of like a preview of what the fuck I'm going to talk about. And I got to tell you, man, I'm really, really excited. Like, my favorite episodes is when I look forward to talk about my final thoughts, and which I'll get to if I can stop rambling. Now, after the poetry, you've heard greetings on my part and a disclaimer. I mean, sure, we actually have a disclaimer for young people, but I also have it for white people. White people. And by white people, I mean, you know, the category of white people who are, like, sensitive about race. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sensitive about race. Not the nigger dying. No, not that kind of sensitive. It's more like, why you gotta make it about race? White fragility. You know what I mean? Yeah, white fragility kind of sensitivity. White racist sensitive about race? No, they're sensitive. They're more fanatical about their white race. But then, you know what? This ain't a study on white people. So, yeah, follow up. Focus, B. Focus. Okay. Before we finish the first act, another thing I like to do is share some quotes. Kind of like some mood setting. It's kind of like an amuse-gueule, an amuse-oreille. I just made up that word. I'm not going to Google it. I'm going to pretend I made it up in case it does exist. An amuse-oreille, okay? And first one is, okay, I'm going to, this one I took from TikTok, and we are going to, no, this is not it. This is it. Okay. I mean, I could have read it, but you know what? Shout out to the female lead for this one, man. I am very grateful for this thought, and here it goes.
Here's how you reframe a really tough week. I did what I could with what I had. I gave the energy that I had available to give. And I made decisions with the best information I had in the moment. Reframing is about acknowledging the struggle while giving yourself grace that you literally did the best that you could. I know you did better than you think you did this week.
Oh my God, thank you. Man, I'm so grateful for people like that on the internet, who complete strangers, who just say shit that how do you say in English? Remonte le moral. Bring up the morale. Brings up morale. Remonte le moral. Makes you feel good. All right. Let me just make a note about the word she said, reframe, because I kind of need to use it in the, I might use it on this episode. Because I actually did some reframing this week. At least I think I did. All right. Second quote goes, all right, this one I get to read. Okay. And it goes, satire is meant to ridicule power. I'm going to repeat that. Satire is meant to ridicule power. Satire is meant to ridicule power. If you're laughing at people who are hurting, it's not satire, it's bullying. Sorry, it's meant to be like part of humor. Because then that was the top frame. The below frame, it goes the right, all angry. What you mean I can't say the N-word? It's just a joke. Okay, all right. Last quote. Last quote. And the last quote is also will relate to the final thought. And it's a quote from... Nikki Banas. Okay. It's okay to not fit in. You don't need to bend and break yourself to simply earn someone's acceptance. You don't need to spend all of your time doing something you don't even like or earn others' approval. Amen. Learn to be uniquely yourself instead. Remember that the only ones who ever changed histories were the ones who dared to listen and act upon their own ideas. They might have been judged and criticized, but they dared listen to their own hearts and change the world because of it. So be independent, be bold, because when it really comes down to it, the only person's acceptance you need is your own. Wow, what's that like? Wow, relying on your own acceptance. Wow, that's powerful. Anyways, okay. Again, all right. Oh my God, okay, I went over time. Okay, let's jump to the second act, and before I do so, I gotta play this sound. Ooh, man. Bonnet bloqué. Sorry, I got a stuffy nose. You know how I sometimes cough for you returning listeners? I think you might have to do that. Hear me out. It's a weird theory, but fuck it. You know, I'm going to do it, right? I'm looking at this microphone, and I got a little, like, cover on it, and it's probably a bit dusty. So I tend to get really close to the mic, like I'm a rapper, like, you know, very close. Like, yeah. And I think when I breathe, the dust that's on it goes in my throat, and that's why I start coughing. Because it's like clockwork. Anyways. I mentioned I'm wearing a toque, right? Yeah. What else is there? Fucking, before I start with the agenda, I said Hurricane Helen, Hurricane Milton. Yo, it's fucked up. You know what? Nah, I'm not going to get into politics, but it's, climate change. I was going to say climate change, man. I mean, oh, shit, I forgot. I got family in Florida. What the fuck? Yeah, man, shit. No, okay, I guess I was just disturbed at the fact that this one guy on TikTok was showing how airlines are gouging people. It's like, hey, go capitalism. You motherfuckers really want to leave the state of Florida? Pay me, bitch. Fuck you, pay me. So they're gouging people. And then so people who can't afford have to stay. Look, I have a friend who was telling me about a friend of theirs that's in Florida. And they tried driving out, but got turned away because of an evacuation warning. So they chose to, like, they're going to tough it out at home. I'm like, fuck. Those are the people who end up in the news. Because you hope for the best, right? You just tell yourself that, you know, yeah, that'll work out. And I guess you gamble. Anyway, yeah, that's it. Florida's on my mind. I hate Florida, but I mean, look, I'm a human being, man. Florida's on my mind. Sorry, I was just listening to a... Look, okay, this is what happened. I went into the office today, you know... Because, you know, we got to do the 3-day mandatory, whatever. I went into the office today, and when I got home, I knew I had a podcast I wanted to record, but I was fucking drained. Energy drained. I don't know. And I didn't have a lot of interaction with people except for that one. All I know is I didn't feel right. So this is why I'm recording a podcast at 8 late, even though I was hoping to listen to get on. You know, whatever, man. You didn't come here to hear me complain. Actually, you kind of did. All right, but I'm just saying, you know what? You don't care. it's not like I do a live record. It's not like I showed up late. Yeah, I'm talking to myself. I'm a little disappointed at myself. Oh, give yourself grace, B. Give yourself grace. I was just drained. I just chilled on the couch, and then now I'm ready to podcast. All right, let's go through this quick agenda because I really want to get into final thoughts. Okay, the first one is, again, this is shit that I found on the internet, and it triggers thoughts, and then I'm like, hey, maybe there's something I could talk about on the podcast. All right, this one goes, I got it from Reddit in the Boomers Being Fools subreddit, but this is a person on TikTok making a good point. TikTok on Twitter making a good point. It goes, it's weird being part of a generation where the signifiers of adulthood, home ownership, stable job, etc., got so unattainable, we had to make our own signifiers, except ours are internal, acting emotionally mature. And now very few of our elders actually qualify as adults to us. Wow. Powerful, eh? Oh, wow. See, I was going to focus on the fact that I remember after graduating from college, and I felt like the right thing to do is be an adult. Like, I moved in, I bought this place. I'm not complaining, but I just remember, like, my biggest motivation moving out was one thing. But getting a mortgage to buy my own place, that was me showing the world that I'm an adult. Buying a car. And the next step was trying to get married. And then I went dating and then looking for love in all the wrong places. But the whole point, I still remember how after college, I had this obsession of convincing people that I was like an adult. I was trying to convince women that, he's got a job. He's got a job. I wanted to be, what's that word? I wanted to be like not at the top, but close to the top of the reproduction. I wanted some chick. I said, yep, I'm going to give my ovaries. Okay, I'm going to fuck up the birth, how birth works. But yeah, I'm going to breed with this guy because he's got his shit together. This thought just had me thinking on how much energy, how much focus, how important it was for me to convince the world I was an adult. I'm not complaining. I'm just reflecting. But it is kind of like heartbreaking that, I mean, on one end, yeah, it's not as easy as it was compared to how I had it to buy a house. But I like this idea that, it's true. I this whole idea of being emotionally mature, which, by the way, this podcast is all about. Part of it. Anyways, here we are. By the way, another reminder that links are in the show notes. You hear that? That's my clogged sinuses. I don't know what that's about, but if you're a doctor, but... Oh, okay. This one is... next clip I'm about to play is from... TikTok content creator. Her name is Flaming ADHD. And if you go in the show notes, it's labeled as congratulations, you have ADHD. And once I play it, you'll understand the title better. Here we go.
My friend told me she got diagnosed with ADHD, and I said congratulations, but that's not the right word. I need a word that means congratulations, and I'm so sorry. Congratulations. How does it feel to know 20 years too late that so much of what you hated about yourself wasn't a character flaw, but a disability that has a name a treatment, accommodations you're entitled to by law, and that you were carrying a burden your peers had never experienced, but you were expected to be just as competent as them. Congratulations. Did you know that children with ADHD are criticized 20,000 more times than their neurotypical peers by age 10? But congratulations, all those notes in your report cards that you ascribed to your personality for years were actually a disability. So it's all good, right? Congratulations, I'm so sorry you slipped through the cracks of the medical system and that when you gathered the strength to pull yourself out of that place and beg for help, they probably asked you humiliating questions, charged you thousands of dollars to tell you something you already knew about yourself. Congratulations, I'm so sorry. Did you see the study Russell Barkley cited about how untreated ADHD can shorten your life expectancy by 12 to 20 years? But congratulations, that gap disappears if you treat it. Did you know about the connection between ADHD and addiction? That we're at quadruple the risk because we're wired to seek dopamine that much more than our peers. Congratulations, have you tried medication? I wonder if you'll start sobbing like I did the first time I realized what it's like to have a quiet brain that allows you to work untormented by every impulse pulled away by every noise, but sob about whether your life will be linked to a pill for eternity, whether you'll trade your sparkle to chase a version of success beaten into you since kindergarten. Sit down, sit still, take notes. Why aren't you listening? Stop being so sensitive. Clean up your shit. I can do it better now, but was I meant to in the first place? Congratulations. I'm so excited for you to live the life you were always meant to, with the knowledge that you always deserved. I'm so sorry you had to wait until now and for the damage that can't be undone. That's what I mean.
Damn. I'm getting emotional. I'm feeling a little bit emotional. Less because of, I mean, in addition to what she was saying, it's because it sent me down memory lane. My life changed when I became friends, when I befriended someone with ADHD. First, we were just talking. She was just open with it. Once she was diagnosed with ADHD, taking the meds. You know, I've known other people, but this particular human, it sunk in better when she started talking about, okay, this is what ADHD, is, and da 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 da. And at first, I didn't see it in myself, but I was seeing like similar traits. I was like, yeah, no, I mean, I struggle with punctuality. I can't focus for shit. I panic. All kinds of, she was just bringing up, okay, at the beginning of our friendship, when she would talk about her symptoms of ADHD, it just helped me shape the reality of, like she said, is, oh, all these things that I used to beat myself up for, all these things that I thought made me less than, all these reasons I had convinced myself that I was going to burn in hell for all eternity. was diagnosed, like, it's the realization that I was experiencing reality, life, differently from others. Before, I was convinced that there was only one way to live this life, there's only one logical way to be, and if you didn't measure up, look, I remember I hated school. Not because I loved learning, but I hated school. Because all school did was make me feel like I was a fucking idiot. Despite the fact that I wasn't. And part of it is because of the idea of we need you to conform. Like, there was no, like, okay, let's take the time to understand who you are and realize, okay, you're better at this. Anyways, look, good for you if school worked out for you, but for me, nah, school just made me feel like an idiot. Anyways, going back to my friend. The more we talked, the more I started realizing that, oh, shit, maybe I got a problem. And I remember how, because I was also one of those people who are like, wait, so I got to take a drug so I can fit into this world? And because that's how I saw it, right? I didn't like the idea, like, it was not natural. I mean, if, yeah, I was on that God bullshit. It's like, I mean, look, I got to take this. Look, the analogy that I preferred is because I wear glasses. It's like, think of it more as you're putting on glasses. Right? I mean, you could be the idiot who's going like, if God wanted me to see fine, he would. I'm not wearing glasses because it's against the will of God. Anyway, but my point is, the more I got to learn about ADHD, the more shit about myself started to make sense. Now, I am not diagnosed. I mean, I did I talked to a therapist and she's like, yeah, no, I see the ADHD trait. The thing is, if it was like fucking me up, if it was like, I guess maybe I'm a functional ADHD. My point is, I'm not clinically diagnosed. I just recognize the symptoms. But the what I am is a neurodivergent. Neurodivergent. Ah, man. I got to warn you, man. If English is your second language and you're hoping to listen to me to speak proper English, I'm going to fuck up your English. C'est pour ça que je m'articule en français. I mean, it's a lie. But I'm saying that's why I throw in the French as a reminder to say, yeah, don't trust my English abilities, guys out there. Anyways, neurodivergent. Yeah. But it also, by having a friend who's ADHD, it also helped me be more accepting of myself, of my trait, less ashamed, being highly sensitive, easily distracted, whatever. But just more, all these things about me that I thought made me a bad person, I've learned to be more accepting and give a middle finger to the people who aren't okay with it. All right, okay. I said what I needed to say. Okay. Okay, this one is going to really put me on the, oh, this guy's just being woke, whatever, right? So I was minding my own business on TikTok like I usually do. Okay, hold on a second. I had to take my toque off because now it's getting too hot. Anyway, you know when you're, only Canadians would relate. It's like when you're at that time of the year where your AC is still in the window, and it's getting colder, so your window's a little open. I'm at that point where I'm debating between, what if there's another week of another scorching heat? My point is, that's why my place is cold, because my AC unit is still in the window. I still haven't taken it out. I don't know, man. This weather's kind of fucked up. I'll take it out. Next thing you know, boom! Summer's back. Just for a week. Say, ha! I'm not done yet. The Empire strikes back. Okay. Right. I was on TikTok minding my own business and I came across this a new term that's being shared, and it's called shelaborating. You heard it, right? Work with me here. I'm gonna play it for you. Word of the week.
Hello. This week's word of the week is shelaborating. It's the female version of mansplaining.
Okay. I don't know if he's the original one to say that shit. I don't see it. Because there was another white dude who was saying that thing, but... but the point is, this asshole actually said, shelaborating is the female version of mansplaining. I'm going to take a position and say that's some bullshit. It's like, since these females made a word for us, let's make it a word for them. First it was, you know, toxic femininity. Okay. I hate the fact when I have to explain myself. I know for some of you, it's just meant for pure humor. And I'm not speaking against it. I don't know why in my mind I'm picturing all these people going, boo, boo, fucking woke ass nigga, fuck you, man, and whatever. So let me speak my mind. When I heard that, especially this term, shelaborating, especially when he says it's the female version of mansplaining, it's you know what? It's like Destiny's Child came out with I Don't Want No Scrubs. And then men clap back with, we don't want no pigeon, you know? It's like women will make an empowering songs for women. A female artist will make an empowering songs, and then men will take it all personal. It's like, oh, fuck, who you calling a bitch? Yeah, whatever, sorry. Okay. This is what this whole shelaborating feels like. But okay, really, this is what happened. When I heard that word and I heard the term and the definition, it sent me back to a comment I once saw on the message board. Because I spend a lot of time on message board in the comment section. Because fuck else am I going to do with my life? my Everest? Fuck that, I'm scared of heights. Anyway, yeah. It reminded me of a comment a woman left behind. It was in, I can't remember what the video was, but it was very likely something sexist. Some man doing something fucked up with women and with a woman. And it was meant for humor. Whatever. One of those videos. What if you got? And I remember this woman wrote, this was a long time ago before I was more enlightened. And she wrote, do men even love women? Oh, do men even like women? And at the time I didn't get it. I'm like, duh. And I remember you're talking to a guy who the first time he heard, I was very young, the first time he heard the word misogyny, couldn't make sense of it. Wait, why? How could a man hate women? Wait, what the fuck? What's wrong with these bitches? Like, while being a misogynist, I'm like, the word misogyny didn't make sense to me at the time, so it took me time. It's only through growth that I'm like, oh. Okay, so when she said that, I didn't get it. But I remember hearing this, she elaborating, and it like finally clicked. I mean, I understood what she meant, but it makes more sense now. Words like she elaborating, okay, the example of she elaborating is once they used on the video is like the joke, you know, the comedians make that joke. It's like, you know, when you ask a woman if she's hungry and she gives you all kinds of details, get to the point, bitch. You are Chinese or not? You know what I mean? It's like when you're dealing with a woman who elaborates, but she's elaborating, right? So she gives you more details than you asked for, I guess, right? So yes, I get the joke. I get the punchline. Don't get me wrong, but there's levels, right? This is like, remember when you do it in math, there was YX degrees? Well, I'm looking at the Z degrees. Oh, my God, Z degrees. Sorry. The YX axle? Well, I'm looking at the third dimension. And it made me think of the of that comment that lady left with, do men even like women? And when I heard about she elaborate, it made me think of hold on, I wrote this shit down. It made me think of, I don't think the problem when it comes to she elaborating or the problem isn't women. The problem is men dating women they don't like. I'll even go as far as to say they're not compatible with. I was a lot of the complaints, and this is all the time hanging out in the locker rooms, and at my time hanging out with men, a lot of the complaints men bring up with women about women can be summed up, this is my theory, this is whatever, can be summed up with the fact that, hey, dummy, you're dating a person you're not fucking, you're not compatible with. Yeah, I remember I was a single guy in the office, and it was just, I was convinced being married was just being with someone that you bitch about. Oh, fuck, she wants me to do this, she wants me to do that, fucking bitch, am I right, fellas? And you high-five each other, you go drink with each other, and you complain about your wife. I honestly thought that's what marriage was about. Finding someone that, okay, looking forward to complain about the fact that you like the color green, or you listen to music that I don't like, or that you're not willing to give me a blowjob, you know what, like, I remember dating a woman, and I was convinced she was the one. You know why? Because she was into giving blowjobs. Because I thought that was a good, wholesome woman. That's what good, wholesome woman. And subconsciously, what I was telling myself is, I can't wait to cheat on you. I can't wait for that affair. Can't wait to have a mission. Because I thought that's what marriage was about. Now, if I'm attacking something, it's less men and women. It's more the notions we were as boys going from boys to men. We weren't, and I know I'm generalizing, but for the most part, we weren't really. Look, I'm not going to say anything. Women who understand men know already. But we weren't really trained or taught to find partners. We were trained to like find trophies. Like women were just like that thing, your wife was just something you had to convince the world that you were an adult. You were one of the grown. You were a grown folks. It's look, the best way I can example. Okay, today I was in the office again, right? And it just so happened in my peripherals, happened to be an attractive woman working with us, like working in like in my set. Like I don't know her, but she was an attractive woman. Actually, to be honest with you, I'm not sure she was attractive, but she had like, she was classy, whatever. But she had like all the traits of, like, I didn't see her face, but she had all the traits of a because of the presence of this attractive woman, there was my toxic masculinity kick in. My teaching as what it is to be a man kicked in. And in the sense that I didn't know this human being. But because she was an attractive trait, she became this thing I needed to possess. I was joking with my friend. I'm like, yo, there's a hot chick in here. And she's yet to fucking recognize me. You know what this means? I got to buy a Corvette. I got to buy a Hummer. I got to spray. Basically, it's amazing how in my mind, I was like, I wanted to possess this thing. I didn't know her person. For all I know, she's fucking crazy. But okay, let's just say, okay, in the off chance, I happen to be her type, like look exchange and everything like that. Look exchange. If things would happen, right, I wouldn't give a fuck about her personality. She would be the, hey, look, hey, fellas, look at this hot chick. She's attracted to me. She would be this thing that I would walk around to show that something must be right with me because I got this hot chick by me. The point I'm getting at is how I had all this attraction, not for this human being who happens to be of the opposite sex, but it was this thing called an attractive woman. Like, I'm making sense. Getting back to my point is, fuck it. And I'm not talking shit. The divorce rate speaks for me. And look, and I know this is not unique to men, but I am going to speak about what I know when it comes to men. Like, I know there are women out there who go out marrying men that, fuck, they had no business dating in the first fucking place because of, well, he's a real man. Look. I knew this one woman. She was like, she was attractive and she did shit like renovation. She did, she cooked, she could clean, renovated. She did all the feminine shit, wear dresses and all the men shit. And what I found out, you know what I mean? Like she was both yin and yang. But she was attracted to the big gusty, the big, look, I don't know this woman, but from what I could see, she was attracted to men that she wasn't compatible with, but they had like strapping young men. Basically they were like Kent, like the Kent doll, strong type. One of these, you know, she ended up dating losers. That's my point, right? And it brings me back to Okay, maybe this point will make it clear. I still remember picking up the book. Fuck it, no shame. It's my goddamn podcast. I say shameful shit. Picking up the book Dating for Dummies. And I was confused at the fact that the first chapter focused on getting to know yourself. What the fuck is that? Why the fuck do I need? How is that a factor? I want to jump to the chapter about, okay, if she's looking at you this way, if she's crossing her legs, if she's playing with your hair, that means she's down, though she's DTF. You know what I mean? I wanted those tips. I was confused at why getting to know myself had anything to do with it. Look, man. sorry, I'm thinking about this meme a long time ago I saw on Facebook, and it was like women when they're looking for a man, it's like, oh, he's got to be sweet, funny, blah, 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 sense of humor, blah, 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 blah. And then the man is like, big tits, just big tits. So I'm making the point of men will go after. I said, man, we were all trained to go after women we're not fully compatible with. I'm like, sure, she makes us laugh. My friends think she's cool, all kinds of shit like that. But at the core, you don't really like that person. Actually, I was in a situation like that. And I feel like making it a bit. I was dating a woman who I'm convinced on paper, she was perfect. On paper, perfect, perfection. This is how I learned that lesson. And this is why I feel like an authority to say this shit. On paper, she was perfect. Job, car, own place. Like, she's like, if when you think of those black rom-com movies and they show the black woman who's got her shit together with the black guy who's got his job and stuff like that, that's how we look like. We look like that beautiful black couple who live in the suburbs and have their shit together and look down on you motherfuckers. Or you motherfuckers who are in jail or six baby mamas. Like, look at us, daughter, we're a success. Right? On paper, she was perfect. But we hated each other. I say hate, not like we were like trying to kill each other, but we were always complaining about, what do you got this? You know, it was just like, it wasn't love. It wasn't love. Like, when you find yourself bitching about your partner constantly, it's not love. If it is love, then something's wrong with you. Then it's a love that you can't handle. I say this as someone, when I think of shelaborating, I say this as someone, fuck, I'm doing it right now, who shelaborates, who has a tendency of shelaborating. There's been times where I've done things, I've responded, like, had a male friend say that, oh, what the fuck? I thought we settled that beef before. Why are you bringing back old shit? I didn't see it as bringing back old shit, but I just accepted it. I'm like, okay, I guess I got feminine traits in me. Just accepted it. And the point that I'm making is that maybe there's a woman out there. Maybe, sure, there's women out there who can't make okay, for the sake of conversation, fine. You meet a woman and it annoys you that she can't get to the fucking point. It happens. In her mind, she doesn't see it as, she's probably looking for words. Maybe it's ADHD. Maybe she's, sometimes it's, her love language is giving you all these fucking details. But you're out here on the other side being an asshole. I'm like, yeah, bitch, what the fuck? Use two words. Keep it concise. What the, you know? Like, she values communication. It's. I'm no expert on love. I just know what it's like to abuse another human being. Confuse annoyance with love, being with another human being and think and just bitching about them. I like the mindset of, wow, I'm going over. I like the mindset of what was the name of that lady? People don't want to be tolerated. They want to be appreciated. If you're with someone and you're tolerating them, that's fucking not love. At least, fuck, yeah. I'll put my money on that shit. I'm no expert. I'm a single guy talking. But one thing is for sure, one thing that turns me away from this whole concept of relationship is being someone and you realizing that, oh, I'm being tolerated. Fuck that. I'd rather die alone. appreciate it is when you're like, I mean, I know it's never perfect, but I'm just saying, look, all I'm saying is I know the difference between being tolerated and being appreciated. Granted, that's kind of rare. Look, okay, I started out this conversation by saying how men aren't raised to find partners. But I could say that about, sure, I could say that about both genders. I don't think it's like we were raised on R&B music, love Hallmark cards, rom-coms, and all that shit. But when it comes to executing, only a few of us, rare of us, have figured that shit out. Oh, this is about shilaburing. Yeah. So all this to say, yeah, I think shilaburing is a bullshit term. But, you know, fuck, if you want to find it, fine. You find it funny. But it just, a lot of this gender war is simply based on a bunch of motherfuckers getting into a relationship with people that they're not even compatible with. That's what's common with all of us. We get with people we're not compatible with, and then you're like, fuck, I hate when she fucking snores. Yeah, me too, man. Fuck that bitch. You know what I mean? It's, yeah. Anyway, that's it. Shilaburate. This is me shilaburating. All right, last point. Okay, oh my God, I love this one, right? Okay, I'm going to play this clip, another clip from TikTok. Man, if they ban TikTok, I'm going to have to kill someone. All right, okay, here we go.
I did an event with Rachel Cargill, the great writer and civil rights activist, a couple of years ago. And somebody in the audience asked us, you guys both seem so calm and chilled. You have difficult people in your life. And I started laughing so hard, I literally rolled off my chair. And I was like, yeah. And she said, no, I don't. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like leaning in. I'm like, wait a minute, break that down. And she said, no, I don't have anybody in my life currently who's difficult because I won't do that to myself anymore. The follow-up question in the audience was somebody said, what about people who you have to deal with and you have to have them in your life because they're in your family? And she said, I'm thinking as hard as I can and I cannot come up with a single name of anybody who is entitled to be in my life, no matter what their biological relationship is to me. And that's a radical position to take. Mm-hmm. And Rachel Cargill lives a radical life. And that's somebody who is really prioritizing her own well-being. And she was like, I've blocked my mother for several years at a time because she was too destructive. I've got siblings I haven't spoken to in years because they're too disruptive and they're not entitled to have me in their life just because we were born into the same family. That's intense boundaries. I will say only that I've done stuff like that. I've decided that not everybody's entitled to have me in their life.
That's powerful, man. I thought that was some radical shit. This idea of, did she use the word or was that in the comment section? Intense boundaries. I was explaining how, the notion of, toxic families, right? Or, I forget the other word they use, but being in a toxic, where you feel you're surrounded by, okay, I don't want to hurt any feelings, but fuck it. Let's say toxic family members. And I've been doing that, like, just fuck that. If I have to pick between my sanity and your happiness, I am holding on to my sanity. It used to be a joke. I remember a coworker used to say that how he didn't fly home for Christmas because he couldn't afford the therapy. And it was just a running joke. What do you mean you don't want to be around your family? Now it's like, nah, fuck that, man. It was fun before growing up, but now if I don't have to put up with it, then I don't. Like, some people don't care about the fact that they're the people who are like, hey, you're a toxic individual. Whatever, I'm not going to get to that. But the idea of saying, not everyone is entitled to be in my life. Fuck that. Act right. You gotta act right. I don't care if we're related. Fuck that. You gotta hear the standards to be in my life. Fuck. Fine if it makes me lonely. I thought it was amazing. It's an amazing thing to say. It's it reminds me of a clip that I played earlier of this guy, he was saying, content creator on TikTok, forget his name, forget their name. And they were saying how when they go for lunch, they spend time by themselves. And one of their colleagues, actually a new hire, intern comes up to him and says, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, let's go. Okay, everyone go for lunch. I'm, you know, and they just hang out by themselves. And a new hire came up to him and said, hey, we think it's kind of rude. Some of us find it rude that you don't want to hang out with us during lunch. And I'm like, it's my fucking time. It's my personal, like, at first I was like, bro, you can't be doing that. You're going to hurt white people's feelings. Some people act like, yo, if you, because you're responsible for my happiness, so you need to put some energy to make me feel wanted. And the thing is, I'm not trying to hurt any feelings. I'm just trying to, like, homie probably felt like I felt when I came back from work today. I'm just drained, so hence, I need time to myself. I want to hear my own music. I just want to chill. Look, man, if I don't have this time alone, I might kill some of you crackers. Yeah, he happened to be black. But the idea of, look, I need time for myself. Yeah, I still remember where time for myself was considered selfish. And I can't say more than what she said, but yeah, it was amazing, man. It was amazing. All right. Je regarde là. All right. As always, links are in the show notes. You can listen to this clip for yourself. And then, yeah, let's jump to the final act. Before I get to what's up with today's title, I got to share this clip with you. And I have it labeled under It's Either Sink or Swim. Now, I'm going to admit this clip that I'm about to play is better viewed than seen. But I'm still going to play it just because I need to focus my thoughts here, if possible. But here we go.
Now, would you believe me if I told you that this glass of water, close in this glass,
yeah, the joke is one glass is bigger than the other, and he's pouring a big glass into the small glass. Homie had me going, man.
Well, you probably didn't believe me. But the moral of the story is, despite a camel not being a native species, over here its toe is considered a delicacy. Yeah, no, wait, that's a different video. Ignore that. The moral of this story is, just like the glass of water, you'll lose so much of yourself if you try and be a part of something that you don't belong. You see, even the game of Tetris teaches us that if you try to fit in, you'll just disappear. Mm. So stop trying to please people that don't like you. In fact, embrace the fact that you just might be the most annoying person in their fucking lives.
Let that sink in.
Let that sink in.
Let that sink in.
Will somebody let that goddamn sink in?
There's a sink out there. There's a sink outside. All right, you know, shout out to this guy. That ginger fella. It's funny I find these clips and don't take the time to know the name of the content creator. That ginger fella. You're funny, sir. You know what? Fuck that. You deserve a follow. Okay. Again, before I explain what's up with today's title, I'm not sure what came first, the chicken or the egg. Was it the video that I saw? No, not remember. Okay. What came first is, I can't remember what it was, but I had a realization how my entire personality was shaped, defined by people I had no business being around. Okay, now, I'm being a little extreme because okay, I brought this up in therapy. It's like, yeah, it happened. I was around them. I'm not complaining about them, but let me try to make sense of what I'm trying to say here. People, when I say had no business being around, people who, let me put it, the best analogy I can think of was, imagine being born gay and your mom, dad, siblings, cousins, grandma, grandpa, both sides, teachers, pastor, whatever, if you happen, whatever it is, your imam, whatever, your community, the school's classmates, all these people were all homophobic. We're all people who are like, whoa, 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 being gay is an abomination. That's who are the people who make, who you grow around with. Now, you look at the person you are. Okay, I don't think a lot of you will be able to relate to what I'm about to say. But the people who this podcast I'm kind of targeting for will understand, right? Because you could use your imagination. Imagine being that person, born gay, and that's your surrounding. That's your circle. These are the people you call your relatives, family, your loved one, your close ones. These are the people you've convinced yourself you trust. It's them over the world. These are your world. That's your universe. Do you think you would choose yourself first, or would you choose them? Now, if you're first, I'm very easy. It's an easy answer. I'd rather choose myself. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who need time to think about it. And this is what I mean when I said that. When I said that, people had no business being around, but that's how it worked out. There's a lot of my personality traits. Oh, so to answer the question, I think based on the way I've lived my life, I would have grown up choosing them. I would have grown up believing something was wrong with me. Fuck. I would grow up repressing those urges. Repress like that nature. Or being in denial. I'd be in the closet like a motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? People had no business being around, but I was. Now, in therapy, I'm learning. It's like, look, that's the past. Grieve. Deal with it. The only thing that's important now is what are you doing now? So today, I'm on this podcast trying to be my more authentic self. And it had me thinking about, I know you've probably heard me say this on past episodes, shout out to you returning listeners, how I resented, have a big resentment from the city of Ottawa. I used to think Ottawa was, people were real in Ottawa compared to Toronto. I used to think Toronto was a very shallow city. And Ottawa was a small city with traditional family values. We were like realer. And it hit me. Nah, yes, I'm generalizing, but I'm speaking about my circle. But we could be fake people too in Ottawa. We're not like, I need to buy a Mercedes, expensive cars, fake. We're more like, I need you to believe that I'm a good person, fake. And deep down, you're a shitty human being. I'm being polite because I'm trying to convince you that I'm a good person. Like, it's very important to portray the image of being polite, of being kind. Even though deep down inside, you're like, fuck, I wish these immigrants would go back to their country. And what I'm just the concept of being your more authentic self. I remember your more authentic self is rejected here. Again, speaking about my circle, I remember every once in a while I would meet someone who would just, from Otto, who would just, their personality, their style, they would just stand out. And I'd be like, hey, you're not from around here, are you? They'd be like, yeah, how can you tell? It's like, because you fucking stand. Because for us, we're all a Xerox. We're all like, it's not about being your authentic self. I'm 49 years old. And I'm just now on a journey to being my more authentic self. I'm still figuring that out. It's not easy. Yeah. Anyway, so I finally started. The thought of. Oh shit! I think I had more notes. Hold on a second. Let me make sure. I want to make sure that I say everything that I wanted to say here. Yeah, I did it. Okay. Be my more authentic self. This is why I find myself being, I take a lot of inspiration. On the last episode, I talked about how I spend a lot of time in women's, I spend a lot of time in women's spaces learning shit, learning life lessons. And I only started like spending more time in LGBTQ spaces. Well, not as much, but I listen to a podcast by these two, by these queer, that's the way they use, queer hosts. And I'm learning shit about, the biggest life lesson I'm getting from them is finding the courage to be a more authentic, middle finger to the rest of the world, being a more authentic human being, being more to yourself. Yo, I'm still working that muscle. I was in a meeting this week with two colleagues, and I was about to say we got in a disagreement. No, it was worse than that. I was making a point. I was trying to explain. So I have a habit of just, again, experiencing the world differently. I have a habit, like for me, it's, I see, like, I was just trying to express an idea, and this is not, and it's happened to me before. And for whatever fucking reason, it triggered those two. And like, if you talk to them, they'll say, "No, I wasn't upset." They wouldn't see it, but they couldn't tell. But they're like raising their voices in their response. Like, to them, they would tell you they were just expressing a disagreement, but it felt more like two people responding to being triggered. Maybe I pointed something, I said something they did not want to hear. And I remember my first instinct was to flight or fight. It was like, okay, all right. My first instinct was like, oh shit. I'm doing it again. I'm saying shit that's causing people to be upset. Shut the fuck up. Shame on you. It's happened to me before. I gotta remember, it's happened to me a lot when I growing up in church, but I remember saying something. You know, sometimes you say something thought provoking and, you know, people will appreciate it, but sometimes it just makes you, it's like the equivalent of making a white person realize that you're calling them racist. Anyways, I can tell they were triggered by what I was trying to explain to them. It wasn't political. It was something work related. I don't want to go into the details, but it was just like, just an approach. It was pretty much saying, "Hey, shit is changing. We need to adapt." Kind of conversation. I feel like I was like Tony Montana, Scarface, explaining to Frank how, bro, we need to expand. You know what? Fuck Gaspar Gomez and fuck the fucking Diaz brother. Except I was doing the polite way. It's like, yo, we need to expand. Basically, I was saying shit that means like, oh, exactly. What I was saying without realizing was, yo, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. Anyway, it triggered them. And so I was feeling the response, the disagreement, the hand. And, you know, as a highly sensitive person, you pick up on these things. But I took it as, oh, you fucked up again, B. And I remember feeling, leaving that conversation. Well, I was upset. First, I'm like, oh, fuck you. Damn, you let these white folks talk to you like, wait. I went from being upset to them realizing, I feel this is where the word refrain came in. Realizing, remember, growth. I've been doing a lot of like, healing here, but I remember the usual feeling of, oh, you fucked up, combined with, nah, man, you didn't do anything wrong. I was fighting the urge between taking it personally and realizing that this shit has, their response has nothing to do with you. You spoke a truth and they responded to that truth. I remember realizing that. And it was like, and while thinking about how this episode was going to be about not fitting in, standing out, living your truth. Like, I had the, I went from instinct from, look, go back to hiding and beating myself up for not, for expressing myself, for not shutting up, because that's what this podcast is about, shut up. Anyway, yep, being upset and being also with, combined with, you didn't do anything wrong. It's not your fault that you're telling them a truth they don't want to hear. And their response just became a, there's an interview I saw this morning, right? If I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. This, I'm being spontaneous. I'm going off the cuff here. It's like there's a reporter at the White House. I forget the, hey, let's see if I can find it because it's really worth sharing. There's a reporter at the White House who's, oh, come on, man, wrong window. Twitter, let's see if I could find it. I'm gonna, it's better if I play it because it's gonna make more sense. Bear with me, talk amongst yourselves. Do, 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 do. Yo, but while I was speaking, yo, I was really looking for, like, some of my favorite episodes is when I'm really looking forward to talk about Final Thought because it's something I wanted to, it's a thought I want to get off my chest. Jesus Christ. I'm going through my likes and I hit like a lot. Okay, there we go. All right. Shout out to my homegirl, Erica Eiffel, for sharing this. She put the caption, he's all of us. Okay, so the name of the person, the reporter speaking, and I'll make my point after I play this clip. His name is Liam Cosgrove. And he's talking to, I guess, the press secretary or white, whatever, right? And hear him out, right? It's the frustration. It's the response to him dropping the truth that gets me. Here we go.
Administration has financed a genocide in Gaza for the last year, and every day you're up there denying accountability for it. So, I mean, okay. What gives you the right to lecture other countries on their moral?
So, if you have a policy question for me, I'm happy to take it. If you want to give a speech, no, but there are plenty of places in Washington where you can give a speech.
Yeah, but people are sick of the bullshit in here. I mean, like, it is okay. A genocide.
I'm going to go on to another question.
And you are risking nuclear war in Ukraine for this
proxy
war.
Plenty of other places to give a speech. Go ahead.
Administration has.
All right. See how we dismissed them and say, oh, this dude is just trying to give a speech. First, I'm going to say congrats. I mean, that was very clever on your part. How he, what's the word? Not just dismissed, but he, you know, in hockey, when you like, he deflected. Is that the word? Deflected. That response to the reporter, in this particular, those were my coworkers. The way they responded to me, it was like, instead of saying, hey, what you're saying is bothering us, it was more like, oh, no, you're fucking, they didn't say fuck, but I'm exaggerating the response, but it was deflecting. It was like, you don't know what you're talking about, or we shouldn't be talking about this. This is a high level of, no, you're wrong, we're right. Like, it was one of those, and I remember feeling like I fucked up, and then thinking about that first clip about, you know, you did your best. You need to trust that you did your best. And then realizing that, nah, it ain't about me. See, like, if I was that reporter, I'd be like, oh, man, I made the press secretary upset. No, you did your job. You did the right thing. You did the right thing, homeboy. I'm sure he knows it because I'm here's hoping he's not flagged with self-doubt like I am. But oh my God, okay. So, all this to say, because I forgot that, what's up with today's title, 60 Christians Against Me. The reason I went with that title is because, well, first of all, 60 Christians Against Me, for those who don't know, shout out to Eminem, comes from that track by Renegade by Jay-Z on his Blueprint album. And that was, for all you hip-hop history, for all you people who said, when Nas said, Eminem murdered you on your own shit, that was the track he was talking about. But I think I used to believe that, but not, okay, that's not the point. It's the final verse by Eminem. And I've always known I was going to use the title 60 Christians Against Me. I thought it was going to be for another Church Ratchetness episode. So maybe I'll explain it. Church Ratchetness another way. It's a segment I created to talk shit about the church. Yes, I know it sounds a lot like Sword Ratchetness from the Black Eyed Tips, but I didn't steal it from them. They're McDonald's, I'm McDowell's, all right? Okay, so anyways, so I have a segment on the podcast called Church Ratchetness. Anyway, so I thought it was I was going to use it for Church Ratchetness, but no, I chose to use it for the idea about not fitting in and standing out. Because what I like about this notion is, because I grew up in a church, and but the kind of church, I'm going to be very careful, right? I'm saying, yes, shout out to you if you had a good experience with a church. I'm not in that demographic. I'm one, I grew up in a, there's a word for it, toxic Christianity. Where there was a leader, like it was all about narcissism and the Bible, God was just used to serve someone's. Anyways, my point is the notion of being the same, the notion of being a lot of, when I talk about people I had no business being around, a lot of them just happened to be Christians, narcissists, and who were like, and who would use like, I am God's will. I'm the closest thing to God than this Bible. Wait. My point is they would use, well, God just wants you, if you want, if you really want to go to heaven, you'd stop listening to rap music. And I think about how, I think I grew up with this notion of everything that I did was just to make sure I was in God's good grace to make sure I get into heaven. I didn't do nice duties, nice deeds because I wanted to be a nice person. I did it because I'm trying to get into heaven. Anyway, so despite the fact that I no longer believe in heaven or hell, I still have a part of me that does things just for the approval of other people's eyes. I'm working on it, right? It's not easy. You know, it's a long journey. But I still catch, it's the closest thing. I've replaced heaven with the approval of others. Like, I remember I was having a question. It's like, I used to have, part of my core belief was that I was a nice guy. Later I realized that, no, I wasn't nice. I was just convincing people I was a nice guy. Look, I'm not an evil person, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying all my good deeds was just to have a favorable opinion of other people, including doing shit I didn't like listens to boring stories, befriending people that I had no compatibility with, all kinds of like that person would not be a fault to be like, oh, you're a fake ass nigga. Would not be a fault for accusing me of being fake. It's like, oh, wow. I thought you were down. I thought we were real friends. Oh, I thought you liked me for me. I was hoping to have sex. I was hoping you'd, you know, I played the role of the nice guy. But all of this was all part of this game of trying to fit in. I blame my teacher too. Fit in or fuck off. Faut s'assimiler, man. You gotta assimilate. Gotta be part of this great Canadian culture. Anyways, all right. So I'm gonna wrap this up and just say that, cause I'm no expert. I can't preach to you about not fitting and standing out. I'm still practicing it. But what I can share with you is, I developed a little soundtrack, songs that I play to. As a way to remind me to stand out, stop trying to fit in, fuck the world, middle finger to the world. And aside from Renegade, 60 Christians, I really love that verse. Waving my pistols at 60 Christians, it gets me. I discovered a few songs. It's first one was Echo Smith, Cool Kids. By the way, I Googled this shit, the songs about not fitting in. Ryan Nealon, Visible. Rhapsody, Stand Tall. Oh, that one was bad. I just heard it this morning. It was like, I Fall Short from Standing Tall. Such like that. De La Soul, Me, Myself, and I. And last but not least, Biz Markie, I'm an Ugly Nigga. I'm an ugly nigga. So what? I mean, that part is just more about the ugly. The song I'm an Ugly Nigga by Biz Markie is more about him acknowledging, fuck, I'm not a pretty, yes, I know all of you people don't think I'm attractive, but so be it. I've made peace with that shit. I'm still going to continue on existing. So I think that I found it empowering. That's what I'm getting at. With that said, what time is it? Holy shit, it's late. All right, okay. This concludes today's episode 210. 60 Christians Against Me. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. In this this bad air filled room. I like to complain about this studio. As always, you can if you want to holler at me, I would love to hear back from you. You know, I would like, yo, when I do this podcast, I hold on to this hope. I was gonna say that I'm not trying to be celebrity. I'm not trying to make money off this podcast. Who am I kidding? But no, I hold on to this hope that one day someone will hear this and will be like, oh, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Will connect to what I'm saying the same way I connected with my friend with ADHD. Like her words, her life experience, her journey to becoming diagnosed was like God sent, was like healing words for me, like help me out. She wasn't out there, yo, you gotta be this, you gotta be that. No, she was just saying, yo, I struggled with this, I struggled with that. And then I got diagnosed and realized that, oh, wait a minute. All this shit was a bunch of symptoms? You mean all the fucking criticism I got from these teachers was all bullshit? And whatever. Anyways, I'm holding on to that hope that one day I'll make a connection with someone. I'll be like, yo, I know what the fuck this nigga's talking about. And if you're that person, I would love to hear from you. Holler at me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. I'm pretty much on most of the social. No, that's a lie. I'm not on Facebook. But yeah, for the safe bet is shutuppodcast411. Jesus Christ. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Shutuppodcast website is up there. You know, if you want to contact me for the social medias, you can go through find me on shutuppodcast.com. But you know, just keep it old school. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Don't send me no letters. I'm not giving you no address. P.O. Box. Okay. Thank you for listening, as always. And remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.